Good afternoon. My name's Luke Ritchie, and I'm the head of digital for the Philharmonia Orchestra. I'm going to talk for about 15 minutes, primarily about our digital work, but I realised actually I should give a quick introduction to the Philharmonia Orchestra as well. We are based in London. We play over 160 concerts a year, and we're based in the Royal Festival Hall in London, although our regional residencies are also very important around the UK. And I'm going to talk about how technology has changed the Philharmonia, and it definitely has quite dramatically, but technology has always been a key part of what the Philharmonia does. When it was founded in 1945, it was one of the main recording orchestras, recording for EMI Records, and we are one of the most recorded orchestras. So from the start, it wasn't just about being inside the concert hall, it was also about adapting to new technology. So briefly, I'm going to talk about the digital team, because we have a really strong in-house team, quite a large team for quite a small administration. And I think that's why I think it's important to explain how we've got here and what the history of our digital team is, and talk about how we're structured. And I hope just give a quick introduction to all the work we do to give you some idea of how we work and explain what we think the beneficial outcomes have been. But also, I think I'm going to use three examples of actually three unexpected outcomes, because I think that with a lot of digital work, you don't always know where you're going to end up. I think that the key thing is to have a really strong, creative, innovative team who can measure as they go. We can measure what's working and what isn't, and we adapt, and that's how we move forward. So the digital team is comprised of four main areas. I won't really talk about IT today, because it's more the creative work that I'll focus on, but we do all of our IT in-house, and actually having that expertise, I think, that does cross over into our creative work, and I think having the in-house expertise is very important. But our three main creative teams are the video team. We do video in-house. We have two people in our team. A production team who I'm going to show lots of pictures to explain what we do, but we go from taking over buildings to big tents to a truck, which I'll explain in a bit. And we have our own website and extranet, both of which we built from scratch and are very key to how we work. And they're currently all managed by one wonderful developer called Douglas, who does an incredible job. There's another very key member of the team, our principal conductor, Esa-Pekka Salonen. Without him, I just don't think that we would be where we are, and it's been his drive and his interest in digital technology that it's been a symbiotic relationship with the digital team and has allowed the Philharmonia's digital team to really push forward and work on a lot of boundary-breaking projects. And I think also this is something that actually I thought about kind of watching presentations earlier today, is that actually from very early on we had to bring all of the players, and we had the managing director David Welton on board, our head of marketing. It was very important that everyone backed us from the top to say to the players and to the administration, we are going to have to start working into new areas. I think we didn't try to promise too much and say you're going to make millions of pounds, but we're just saying, or euros, we were just saying, you know, we need to move into this, and we spoke to them from the start. So starting with video, we had our first in-house video person and started creating our own video podcast in 2007. We were one of the first orchestras to do our own video podcast, and that's got us now today to a very big archive of videos, nearly 300. And that is something that really does drive our online presence. We really have a focus on sustainability in the videos that we make. We try to make things that are going to be relevant for years that we can come back to. So we have listening guides, or we'll work with composers or players that we think will come back, that will have a long relationship with the Philharmonia. And especially in the last year, we've really noticed a big surge in our YouTube figures. And also our social media presence. So we've kind of doubled to about about 3.5 million views and a lot more subscribers. And I think we're finding YouTube is actually something like a, it's actually a bit like a social media channel as well. We get a lot of contact, and we try and reply to everything. Any comments, anyone who comes to us, we come back to them. A lot of people find YouTube as a, it is a social media channel, and we're really capitalizing on that. Our web team, we've had a website since the 90s, I think, like most people, but we I'm going to talk about a few key landmarks. In 2003, we recorded the orchestra playing, just playing every single note in a sample library that we gave away for free in 2003. So anyone who wants to record music, anyone who wants to sample it, they can just go to the Sound Exchange. It's not called the Sound Exchange anymore, but you can go to our website. And we just gave these recordings, these samples away. And that's still proving, over 10 years later, to be a big source of traffic. It's still something that people are interested in. And it's great how that's still retained relevant. We brought our first developer, Mark, in 2007. And in 2010, I'm going to talk about this a bit more, he created what he called Mark's Orchestra Business Interface, or MOBI, as we all call it. And I'm going to talk about that in a bit more detail later, because it's one of those things that's actually, some people find quite boring, but actually it's transformed the way that we work. In 2012, we partnered up with TouchPress and created the app, the Orchestra, for the iPad, which I'll talk about a bit more, and actually was mentioned in an earlier slide. So you probably have heard of that. And then last year, we actually rebuilt our entire website in-house, which has really, that was a long process, but actually we're now reviewing how we're doing 1 year in, having created our new website. And actually that URL will take you to our latest creative in-house project by the digital team, which is for our new season, the City of Light, Salonen's new season with the Philharmonia, all about the music of Paris from 1900 to 1950. So I'm going to talk about our productions, and I decided I just needed to show you lots of pictures because it'll be a lot quicker, because it's often very hard to explain what we do. So starting, going through as a history, in 2006 we set up our first, what I would say our first digital installation or production, which was called Play Orchestra, and we built 30 of these cubes which had speakers in them, and they had a picture of an instrument in them, and we sat them all outside the Royal Festival Hall in London, and anyone from the public could just walk up, and if they sit on, or if they sat on one of those cubes, it would play the instrument that you were, you know, that had the instrument that was shown on the image. And if everyone sat on the seats, then all the instruments would play together and it would play a musical piece. And it was very, very simple, but it was incredible how popular it was, and really made us realize that actually this was something we wanted to do more of. It really engaged a large number of people, and it was very simple, but kind of something that we didn't think other people had done that much before. So in 2010, we did a much larger project called Rewrite, where, again, with Salonen very actively involved, we filmed the orchestra performing the Rite of Spring with several cameras. Then we took over a large building with 10 rooms in it, a disused warehouse, and we took, and each of those rooms, we projected an image of a different section of the orchestra. So you would walk through the violins room, you know, or here, you'd walk through here and you'd hear and see what they would hear and see. And it was basically about allowing people to be inside the orchestra. And it proved to be extremely popular. We won the Royal Philharmonic Society Award for it. And we found that we'd got a new way of connecting with audiences, a new way of getting people to see an orchestra play in a completely different way, perhaps people who hadn't been to a concert hall before. So in 2012, we did an even bigger project with even more cameras, with Salonen, and we filmed a performance of The Planets. And we filmed it with even more cameras in an even bigger room. And then we had our first opening of the exhibition in the Science Museum. And about 67,000 people saw it. And since then, we've toured this production and Rewrite as well. And it's become, it generates income from the orchestra, but also it's part of a wider package that we offer. So we have an in-house production team of two who, amongst other things, tour these productions. So I'm going to talk about, with those three teams, video, web, and production, I'm going to just talk about some unexpected outcomes about having an in-house team that are creating content, digital work. We found some really interesting results that we didn't necessarily expect. So, as I mentioned, we created the app with TouchPress and with Salon and been very actively involved, called The Orchestra. And essentially, you can scroll through a piece, a musical piece, and you have multi-camera views of the orchestra playing. You have the players commentating over it, talking about their playing. Salonen as well, the conductor, talking about the process, how different it is to conduct different pieces. And if you select one of the instruments, you will get a video of one of our players talking about their instruments, talking about the history of the instrument, how they play it. And we filmed all of those, and we filmed a concert with our own in-house video team. Again, that was the good thing that we had the expertise, we'd done this before, we could do that without bringing someone else in. So after the app had been released, we thought, well, we should probably put those instrument videos up on YouTube, you know, because we've got them and they might be interesting. And they've proved to be hugely popular. We've had a huge amount of views for them. And I think it brought home just a really simple message that, you know, people just want to hear from the players. They want to, the orchestra is the focus, and this technology can actually help bring out the players instead of just seeing a sea of people in suits. They actually bring out the individuals. So we're actually going back to more simple technology. We're doing an audio podcast at the moment called Backstage Pass, which we just started a few weeks ago. And that is an audio-only podcast, a traditional podcast, but it's about the process of what happens when you lead up to a concert. It takes the listener backstage, it talks to Salonen about the process, it talks to the players, it talks to the administration, it talks to the people in our office and about how much work it is to organise these things, and you hear the sounds of backstage in the Royal Festival Hall, and you hear the sounds of the orchestra rehearsing. And I think that that's an example of something that, you know, we're always into new technologies, but if an older technology conveys something in a powerful, evocative way, we'll also work with that. And briefly, with the productions, what I think we've started to build is what it was the original idea. We call it a digital residency, which is essentially the idea that the very first project came after we realized that members of the audience just like to be able to walk around the music, and I think they can feel more relaxed than perhaps in a concert hall. And the first thing we ever did was with projections was we had three projections, I think, in a foyer in the Royal Festival Hall showing a concert that had just been on. And we realized people really loved it. They kind of relaxed into it. And rewriting Universe of Sound, we find that people will sit there for a long time, on average about half an hour. They really will become immersed and relaxed, and you know, children will also get involved. So this year we decided to we built something new as well, but we thought that we should build more of a package so we could actually take these larger installations but take them to a town. But we thought we also needed something smaller, and also how are we going to take this thing to a town? So we built a truck this year called Music Lab, where we did the interior. We didn't actually build the truck, but that would have been slightly behind us. But we wanted something smaller, something more mobile, that could actually take in small school groups, but still have an introduction to classical music to the work we do. And so these are all installations that we configured ourselves. So there are instruments here that are connected to computers, and they're like interactions, kind of like Guitar Hero kind of interactions, where you have the players talking to you, the videos of the players, and then children get the chance to actually hold a French horn and play it, and they'll hear instruments. It's connected to MIDI through a computer, and they'll actually hear notes back. And we started a project this year, it's called iOrchestra, where essentially we built Rewrite in a tent, and that arrived in one of three main towns in the southwest of England, Plymouth, Torbay, and Truro. And it would be there for about 10 days, open to the public. Anyone could walk through and experience Rewrite. while at the same time the truck, Music Lab, was touring around there, stopping at a school every week, and four school groups every day would go in there. And what we were trying to do was get them to make the journey from there to get enthused about music, to then go and see Rewrite. And ideally, after seeing Rewrite, to go and see the orchestra. And so at the end of every tent installation, we had a big open air concert with the Philharmonia playing. And it was great. It was a huge project. It was probably the most ambitious project we've ever done, I think. Certainly the digital team, and it was a real challenge for the team. But it's been very successful, and I think that we've realized that actually with our production team, with our digital team, we can offer a wider package to promoters outside of just, you know, the symphony orchestra playing in a concert hall. Right, how am I doing for time? Okay, so I'm going to talk about Moby, because even though it's quite boring, we all think it's fantastic. Basically, Mark, our web developer, worked with our concerts department because in 2010 or 2009, they were still working on a paper diary. They had a little database that didn't work very well, but they were writing up lots of schedules in Word for every rehearsal, every concert. And as you all know, it's a lot of work trying to organize the orchestra. We tried some off-the-shelf solutions like OPAS, but they just didn't seem to work for us. So after a year of consultation, we built this extranet called Moby, and it's become absolutely core to what we do. The players use it regularly. It notifies them about rehearsals, concerts, recordings. They can request repertoire from the librarian. We can all go to it and look, at what's coming up. And it's become incredibly useful. That's kind of a very quick tour of what we do. But I think that some of the things that we've done have created new opportunities for the orchestra. Those touring productions, the app, they have generated income for the orchestra, and I think they might build models that could generate revenue for the orchestra in the future. But they're also about developing whole new audiences, audiences that wouldn't find us otherwise. And with our video work, it's absolutely core to our social media presence. But at its simplest, I think also it just creates connections. It's connections between the audience and the orchestra. It brings, our job is to connect audiences with our orchestra in new ways. But it's also connected our administration better, actually. We have the same problem, someone mentioned this, is that sometimes the administration and the players feel very far away, and it's a good way of connecting them. And I think finally, having the in-house expertise to innovate just means that we can be flexible, we can measure what we do, and we can respond quickly. So I'll leave it at that. Thank you.